Good evening, I'm Paul Edwards from Miami, Florida, and welcome to Tuesday Topics. I'd like to thank Rachel and Joseph and others who are doing recording tonight, and I'd like to thank Chrissy, I guess, who's the latest editor of Tuesday Topics, for turning a somewhat chaotic program into a meaningful broadcast for mainstream ACB radio. I'd like to welcome listeners to our ACB radio mainstream. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. And, of course, as usual, I'd like to thank George Byes for all of the work that they've done to make this program available to us. Without them, we certainly wouldn't be doing Tuesday Topics. Tonight we're doing a discussion on a topic that I'm not nearly old enough to even be thinking about, which is retirement. You guys can stop laughing. In December, I actually turned 60, so it is a topic that I am thinking about somewhat. But retirement certainly is an issue for many of us who are working and who are getting older, and who are looking at what kinds of prospects are out there for us in terms of retirement. And tonight, we'll be exploring at least some of the issues that people who are retired have to deal with as people who are blind. What are the differences between retirement for folks who are blind and retirement for others? I think that the question's an interesting one. We'll see what sorts of answers we get. What kinds of options should blind people look at in terms of retirement? What are some of the resources that are out there for blind people to look at with regard to retirement? There are a range of questions, and As we go on tonight, I'm sure that many of them will come up. With us this evening at the moment are Dave McElroy and Gary Woods and Chris from Maine and Joe from Massachusetts, as well as Brian and Rachel, and of course I'm here. And so among us, we should have an interesting discussion. But I guess I'd like to start by asking people whether we believe that there are special problems that blind people need to consider when thinking about retirement that don't apply to others. That may be a good starting point, so let's see if anyone is minded to get involved with that question as a starting point. Are there special considerations that blind people need to look at when thinking about retirement?
Hello, this is Gary Wood from Lansing, Michigan. Well, one special thing that might be considered is that some folks might have to go into what they call disability retirement, because if their jobs have been eliminated, and they're maybe considered, since if you're over 50, sometimes I think you're maybe, it's harder to find other jobs out there, so sometimes I think maybe the disability retirement might be the best better than being laid off from their employment that they were at while someone tries to find another job for them. Like when I was working for the state of Michigan, I cleaned tapes for the computers. They ran through a machine that was open reel tapes, like the ones we used to use, if anybody remembers that, and then they'd scrape off excess dirt and iron oxide. But they were going to go to what they call cartridges, and they said there wouldn't be any need for tape cleaners. So I opted for retirement as opposed to getting laid off and facing the possibility of losing benefits and things of that nature. So I retired, but I guess I'd have to say it was a disability retirement, but it's a retirement nonetheless. I've worked for the state for 15 and a half years. I have some pretty good benefits, and I had what they call deferred income, 457. I drew out of that from the time I was working, and then I started drawing from the income when I was 60 years old, and so I'm set that way with that nest egg, I guess you'd say. And then, of course, working for the state of Michigan had some pretty good benefits also because of the pension. It's pretty good. So anyway, that's my take on it.
Brian from Boston here. One of the things that I think is different for blind and visually impaired people than for those who are, so to speak, able-bodied, is we went through a transition time when we were leaving the school system and entering the rehab system as a matter of age and going from education to vocational outcomes and activities. And once you decide you're going to retire and move up from the employed to the unemployed, you also go from the realm of those who are eligible for VR services and those who are not eligible for VR services. We go from an active VR client to an SR or social rehab client. Now, for some of us, that isn't going to be that big of a deal, but there are times certainly when it was VR that provided me all of my access to technology. I bought quite a bit of it myself, but by no means all of it. And so there's going to be kind of a weaning away from support for the expensive side of being a blind person when you move from being an employed but VR-eligible person to a retired SR client.
Hi, this is Joseph from Boston. I'd like to comment on this. It seems today the retirement benefits are much, much harder for blind people that are starting out. When I started in, I didn't get the help and services from the VR. There was a lot of problems. And I've heard blind people in the past talk about their retirement benefits. Some of them just got much of a pension. There wasn't many 401ks or this or that or the other things, unless you're in with a really good, strong company. I think that people with disabilities are way behind, and agencies have to be brought up to date, and these organizations, there has to be mandatory retirement benefits, not just the lousy SSI and checks like that. I'm glad, Gary, you got some things, but I think the whole system has to be reworked to see when people, if they start today, they have to have retirement benefits. Now, I know a lot of them don't have it, and for whatever reason, I don't know why that is, but it's very hard today to get retirement benefits. If you started work 30 or 40 years ago, you may or may not be fortunate. I think that's a sin in what's happening in our society.
Well, that's true. I think I had to plan for the retirement. I think that probably you can't really spend the kind of money that maybe you'd like to spend, like just because you have it. You know, I think for blind people, I think you have to take that into account when you when you're working, so that you have something to tide you over when you're when you have to retire or when you get laid off or whatever. I don't know if I feel guilty because I didn't work all the years that some others.
Interesting. Hello, this is Pam Drake from Visalia, California. I volunteered for the local SPCA. That's the, in case people don't know and some may not, it's the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. And I made appointments for them on my computer. I made spay and neuter appointments. Dave's brother created a template for me. At that time it was in DOS. And it was a template of the form that they used. So I was able to type in the necessary information. So yes, I was able to volunteer. I also find, I don't know, of course, maybe women have an easier time of not working than men do. Because I held a number of jobs in my life, but I never felt as though I wasn't productive or wasn't useful. And I've been out of the workforce now for about, 30-odd years. It's just been a while. It's been at least 20 years, we'll say. And I've never felt, and the work I did after my first 5 years of steady full-time employment, was the work I've done afterwards was spotty, and I resigned by choice from my first job because I positively couldn't stand it, but that was my own decision, absolutely. And I just don't feel that I have lost anything in life. There have been some thoughts of volunteering, and I actually could qualify now that I am over 55. I could qualify for activities at the local senior center, and I told myself a year and a half ago when I became 55 that I might check into it, and I haven't done it yet. I do know of some blind people. There was a person on the Newsreel magazine several years ago who was saying that she volunteers for the senior citizens center, and I don't know if she was at the time under 55 and so ineligible to join the activities, or whether they just found a niche for her to volunteer. But I've never felt the boredom or the discontent that a lot of people feel in not working. Plus which, while we're, I can see I still have an open mic here, Dave hasn't mentioned it, but he is now the president of our local amateur radio club, and we both are members of the local computer users group. And so we've been able to keep pretty busy.
Thank you, everyone. I think we've gotten at least some of the issues on the table. I may come back and ask Joseph for some clarification on the point that he made earlier, which suggests that our society knowingly discriminates against disabled people in terms of retirement. And I'm not sure that that's the case. I think if a disabled person is working, that person has the same access to retirement as does anyone else who's working. What I wanted to at least raise as another issue is one of the differences between blind and sighted folks the fact that blind people actually have, can I put this correctly, have less to lose retiring than other people do because of the existence of SSDI. One of the things that used to bother me a little as a blind person was the number of people I would talk to who say, well, I'm just waiting until I have my 10 years in or sufficient quarters, and then I'm going to quit and get SSDI. I don't know that that's typical of people with disabilities, but I think that it certainly does happen. And I guess even now where I say to retire, the fact is I certainly have enough time in that I would have the option of making a choice at this moment as to whether I wanted to receive SSDI or whether I wanted to hold off for a few years and receive Social Security, which of course is an entirely different entitlement program. Social Security being for those over 65 and SSDI, or Social Security disability income, being for those folks who have worked sufficiently long to have earned disability insurance. So let's see if there are any responses to my question. Are people with disabilities actually faced with the rather pleasant truth that they aren't nearly so dependent on the income they're making at work as might a typical sighted person?
Hi, Paul. Joe here with a response. Joe from Massachusetts responds to your question. Well, I think it's a double-edged sword. SSDI, I can't get that. For some reason, I heard that was for people that have a mental illness or something. I don't know. I know it's different up here in Massachusetts, and you get more money. In one portion, you're right, but you only can get so much money in SSI. And if you retire, and you have so much money in the bank, I think I'm correct. In Massachusetts, I do know you only can have $2,000 in the bank. So if you're working, and let's say you've made $40,000, $50,000 a year, and the only retirement benefit you have is SSI, you lose all your money. If you have Social Security and you don't get SSI, you can put money away in the bank. That's why I feel there wasn't really that much benefits as far as retirement for people. I think it should have been mandatory that appropriate funds be set up, and maybe the SSI be for the disabled, and they just have a fund for blind people. That would be a lot better, because everybody now is on SSI or SSDI. You can still get Social Security. I didn't even know about 401ks and stuff like that when I was younger. I had a lot of difficulties in our family, no communication, and there was no effort made on this bit. I guess everybody thought that the company would always cooperate, but as you know, today companies aren't that cooperative. They steal money from their employees' trust funding. Finally, now they're getting caught, so that's why I said it's a double-edged sword. If you're in a low-income job, Paul, and you make like I did, the $40 or $50 a week, and you're packing, selling for the Kidney Foundation, or putting forks and spoons in a plastic bag, and you get $2 or $5 an hour or whatever, then I guess you could retire after so many years and you would get your SSI. But a lot of these companies, unless you were in with a good government job, we didn't have that many retirement benefits.
Let me, Paul, answer your question as best I can. Dave McElroy again. And I can only really answer it from my standpoint. I cannot answer it from the standpoint of every other blind person. I would like to think that any of us that are blind would wish to contribute as much as anybody else into the society. And I can tell you that for me, the prospect of SSDI did not actually enter into anything. It did not enter into my decision to leave work. And as a matter of fact, my decision to leave work was really not my own. It was part of the agreement that I settled with my employer, who had discriminated against me in promotion. That's a long story, and we don't need to go into that. But the one way that maybe it did make me think of being a little more comfortable was this. Once I was out of the job that I had done for 25 years, I did go to the employment development, and I did attempt to find other employment. And for various reasons, it just didn't work out. I've also put in a couple of applications that I, you know, for jobs which I knew I was qualified for, and I didn't even get interviewed. And so I walked away from the workforce. Now, that was my choice, and part of that may have been because I was able to get SSDI. I would have been less likely. I might have been more apt to go out and you know, really prostrate myself again with some kind of employment. But because of the existence of SSDI as part of my package, it's only part of it for me. I was able to say, you know what, I don't need this, and I can go back and I can do what I'm doing and not worry about it. But I really didn't think in those terms, Paul, until I was out of work, until I'd been out, until I was putting my toes back into the workforce, trying to get back in. That's when it hit me that maybe I had a good thing going. But I can honestly tell you that did not enter my lexicon at all until probably, in fact, I would say until some months after I had officially walked away from the job.
Let me make a couple of clarifying points, because I think it's really important that we not mislead folks. First, there are three kinds of Social Security income. One is SSI, and that's typically available to folks who do not have a long work history, and that stands for Supplemental Security Income. Second, there's Social Security, and those are the funds that are available to people who are over the age of 65. But, of course, it's only available if you've put a sufficient amount of money into the Social Security system. The third kind of income is called Social Security Disability Insurance. And these are funds that are specifically set aside so that people who work, if they are forced to retire, or in fact the way it works for blind people is if they actually do retire, people qualify for a payment under SSDI that is a partial repayment of the funds that you've put into your retirement or into Social Security during the time that you're working. I think it's important that we distinguish among these three things because, you know, I think people are bandying about terms like Social Security without really being careful about how they define it. I think that perhaps we've gone as far with this question as we can, and people have actually begun to answer, at least to some degree, my next question. But let me raise it anyway. Are there some specific things that blind people might consider doing once they retire? We've heard about volunteering at other agencies. We've heard about pursuing interests that you didn't have time for when you were working. But are there some other specific things that people who are blind might be able to do that would contribute to life and the pursuit of happiness for blind folks that may be a little different from that which people who are not blind might do?
Well, Paul, this is Gary Wood again from Lansing, Michigan. There are things where people who are retirees called retirement centers, and I think that they can be quite useful places for people to stay at. They have a lot of activities. At one in Lansing that I'm thinking of considering going to when I decide to. I put in some money. I put some money down into one of these places, and then if I decide to take them up on this, I'll go there, and then that part of it will be paid for. But if I decide not to, then I'll be refunded the money. But it has a lot of activities that you can do. They have movie nights there, and they can play, have a lot of activities. They play bingo. They have talent. Like on some Fridays, they have all kinds of parties there sometimes, and that's an interesting approach, I think, that they take. There are a few blind people there, several of them, and then I'll be one more if I decide to go there that way. And then, of course, in a place in Grand Rapids, Michigan, they had, but I heard it's since closed, but Welcome Home for the Blind, where it's mostly blind people, and they had three meals a day, and everything was cared for. I suppose they paid for everything, but they have everything done for them. A lot of them probably can't do it for themselves, but I think I'll choose something like this. They have one big meal a day. It's really, really a good meal, and of course for myself, like I can make breakfast. I can do the instant cereal, or maybe learn to cook a regular oatmeal or cream of wheat or something, and then I can make a sandwich at lunchtime. I can do that with not too much of a problem. And then there's all these drinks that you can have, like Slim Fast and things to take care of that situation. And then I'd have a satisfying meal for the supper meal, or some people would say dinner. So that this is my take on the retirement communities that they have these days.
This is Brian. I'm going to have to step off. Apparently, I've been going in and out about every 5 seconds right now, so I'm going to go off and see if I can come back. But if you don't hear from me again, it's technical difficulties.
Ah, yeah, we wondered about that. There seemed to be a lot of activity. Anyway, hope to see you back again, Brian. But what I was going to ask, and maybe you've clarified it, Gary, are you talking about a residential facility? Because there are, for example, we have a senior citizen center, and I mentioned earlier, in fact, I'm sure that a lot of cities have them. And you can You can, a lot of things I would imagine require some sight simply by nature of the activities, but there are book discussions and there are just a lot of different things, and I just may check it out, but it may be something that I can investigate, and it is not a residential facility. Now, as a matter of fact, my mother has just moved into a retirement community. She does have some health issues, but even there, I noticed that they have some very nice available activities. She doesn't feel that she's well enough to participate in any of them, and I just spent a few days with her a week ago. Well, they've been home about a week now, but one of the things they have is a nice computer in the library, and I wished I had brought a disc with a screen reader. But I didn't. Probably that was short-sighted of me to not have brought one. Plus, I didn't think I'd run into a computer, and my purpose was to visit my mother, not to sit at the computer, and it would have been very tempting. But at any rate, I was curious, but I guess you are talking about a residential facility. There are a lot of places that people can find things to do as retirees, and they don't necessarily have to be exclusive to sighted people. At least I don't believe.
I think that as far as blind people, what we can do, I know one thing that I've been doing a little more of, and I need to get in more of it. So I go out to our local gym. I was there today, and I'll try to make a better, more habit of that, especially since we hear our good fellow and colleague Roger Peterson is in the hospital as we speak with blood clots that in his lungs that apparently came from his legs, and they feel it's from sitting around too much. That's what he said. That's his words, not mine. I talked to him today, and so I don't want to get into that kind of thing. I'll tell you that right now. You know, that's pretty. So that's one of the things that as a blind person, I think we need to be a little bit more cognizant of the exercise value that's out there. And I guess that's about it.
We've talked a little bit about senior centers, both residential ones and non-residential ones, and people have certainly discussed some of the things that are available to people at either sort of senior center. Nobody's talked about whether there might be difficulties for a blind person wanting to fully participate, for instance, in a senior center's activities, which is the community-based one, the one that isn't residential. And second, with regard to residential facilities, is a blind person going to get as much out of being a part of those facilities, those residential retirement facilities, as other residents might? And if they aren't, why is that? And is there something we can do about it?
Again, an interesting question. I have had, part of my work experience was in convalescent homes. And what I did, I basically was, I managed the finances for several people, but I did have a lot of chance to observe. And the one thing I've noticed in nursing homes, and this is probably as true in senior citizen centers as well, much of the activity is vision-based. And they, at least in the convalescent home situation, they really didn't know what to do with a blind person. And that's why, you know, I was telling somebody, that, in fact, I was going to try to go to work in one. I'd say I'd be a great social worker, but I'd be a terrible activities director. You know, all of the... It seems that, again, the visual cortex takes a greater role in when you have other limiting functions. And these folks are just, you know, it's a lot more, you know, a lot of art stuff in there, a lot of... I'm thinking back to the senior center, a lot of dancing and stuff like that that I personally don't have a lot of interest in. I'm kind of a hands-on guy. I like to, you know, the radios and all that kind of stuff, the computer. I'm not sure that there is a good solution other than for the blind person to be you know, self-motivating, and that would be my thought anyways. And again, I think most of us have done that most of our lives anyway.
Hi, this is Joseph from Boston. I can hear your speech in the background. I think it's Dave or something, Megora, I don't know what it is. It sounds like a Braille speak, just guessing. I think that a lot of these senior centers, not just senior centers, activities for the blind. I wanted to get a treadmill a couple years ago, and they used to have buttons on you can feel. Now they don't. It's a space saver. And I think blind people, some people just want to cart us away and put us into old retirement places, and those blind people are, and separate us from the community. It's bad enough that not a lot of sighted people are not involved with the blind. It's like here, you don't see sighted people on ACB radio, and you don't see ACB radio mixing, and I wish they would with regular radio stations have some of the blind programming on regular radio stations. So I think that's part of the problem in these retirement places. Like my family would say, well, we want you to go to a nursing home because we don't care about you, regardless of my age. And people just look at blind people as work in shelter workshops unless you're very fortunate and able to get out from under a lot of nonsense and then go to a retirement home and die. And I think there's a lot more strides which has to be made in the retirement community. They have to learn to work with blind people. Agencies and people have to literally be forced. It's like with the technology thing we went over a few weeks ago with the products and how why they're so expensive. It has to be mandatory that they learn about blindness and retirement, and blind people are not kept in the background. They're just put in an old folks home and they stay there until something eventually happens to them, and then they die and their family takes all their stuff and throws it away. And I just think there's a lot of stride that has to be made in this, and I know a lot of people like myself are very, I'm very bitter because of what's going on in these communities. I hate it when they say, well, now we'll send you to an old folks home. I don't like the nursing home idea. I know we touched on that briefly last week. You should be with your family. They should participate. You should die at home, not just suffering, throwing someone away in an old folks home. And I hope you visit your mother as much as possible, Pam, because I know I wouldn't like it if I were in one of those places. And some people do and some don't, but I guess I'm very judgmental in this case to some of those places because I've seen a lot of bad things happen. And it just affects me because I really used to believe, and I still hope in the family, even though there is retirement. I just don't like to see people carted off. I mean, there should be activities, there should be modifications. But, you know, a lot of the companies don't like this Disabilities Act and all this, and they have to take these steps, and people really have to open their mind to blind people so they'll be part of the community, not just stuffed in an old folks home.
Well, Joe, though, there's a difference between an old folks home there's a difference between a nursing home and a retirement home. It's the retirement home has lots of activities and things of that nature, but a nursing home, I mean, you have to have a certain amount of degree of independence to stay in a retirement home. But the only time that, I mean, if you can't do for yourself, then I mean, if you're totally dependent on something where you need help doing everything, then they figure it's time to put you in a nursing home. But this is a different thing altogether. Pretty much, it's not quite that way. I mean, like I still live in my home with my mother, but she chooses not to go into a retirement community because she feels she can do fine, you know, now, which is great. But I think that would be a choice that I would rather make when it's time for me to, well, if something happens to her, I'd rather go to a place like a retirement home. Then I don't have to worry about, if I'm by myself, having to keep up the lawn, hire the guy to mow the lawn if I need it done, or shovel snow if I need it done, or having to pay for those I don't have that many bills. I probably won't have that many bills in a retirement home. I'm not sure what all they would be. Probably cable. I'd probably have to pay for that anyway there. I'm not sure, but I think one should be as independent as we can be, for as long as we can be, for the blind, you know, and all disabled. But I guess this thing on nursing home care is for next week, so I guess we'll go back to the retirement community.
Yeah, Gary, I just wanted to touch on what you say. Don't let someone else have it. Yeah, but I just briefly, I don't believe in nursing homes at all. I really don't. That's a cop-out. I'm not blaming you. You know, if you lose your independence, oh, throw them out of the retirement home, throw them in a nursing home. That's what families are there for. That's the way it should be. You know, we all go out the same way we came in. We all go out with nothing. And during our last years, unless we're absolutely brutal people and we've mistreated others, we shouldn't be punished. And I think that's a worse sentence for anybody. Okay, thanks.
Well, that's right, I guess.
Cool. We keep throwing these categorical and absolute opinions out on the table without very much supporting evidence. It's all well and good to, quote, hate nursing homes, but unless you have a good reason for, quote, hating nursing homes that you're going to define, don't simply put it out there to say another thing that you dislike, because it isn't helpful to people who are trying to listen to the program and understand better what some of the issues are out there. You know, I think nursing homes are often an option that people don't have a lot of choice about when they go into. That's certainly true for people who are in SSI, though they're a subject of a different program, perhaps. SSI folks who are going to end up going into a nursing home actually will find it easier to do than a person who is retired, who essentially has to be on waiting lists and has a number of decisions to make before they even consider whether a nursing home looks like a good idea. But for the moment, let's leave nursing homes and ask ourselves another question, which we haven't talked about. Sort of hoping Brian might be back, because he and I have certainly talked about this issue. I wonder what people's feeling about long-term care insurance is. Is it a good idea for people who are blind to take out? Is it a problem for people who are blind to take out? And are there specific advantages or disadvantages that people would like to talk about?
Sorry, Paul. I'll be brief, and then I want to talk about the long-term care insurance. I should clarify. The only reason I said that is because so many people are just thrown into nursing homes, and I've talked to some of the people. I've seen them, and they're not very happy with what goes on in there, and you hear all about the abuse, and I just don't think they ever should have been started. Now, getting on to your other subject, because that's a quick way out, I think there should be long-term health insurance, care insurance in your own home. You can still have community activities. I didn't know much about it until it was too late. If I had the money, I would have gotten it now. So that a person could live in their own home and retire in their own home, and when their time comes, people will be with them at their bedside, and they know, gee, they're not going to make it, but they're not put away in some nursing home. I think the long care and term insurance can take care of that, and if they absolutely have to be in the care center, where, if you call them that, or nursing home, should be almost like a home, and or I guess some people have their money, they bring the hospital to them. Unfortunately, actor Shelley Winters didn't. And she died in a nursing home last week. But I think long-term care insurance should be available, and you should have a choice, whether it's care in your own home or care in another hospital or something. And that is a good subject, but I wanted to clarify that. That's why I said hate, because it really boils me when I hear about those places. And it's so much uncomfortable, and a lot of things happen in those places. Because you're at your lowest, some people, and they get taken advantage of. So I just wanted to touch on that, and I do agree with you on this is my view on the long-term health care insurance. Maybe it would keep people out of those places. I don't know.
Well, I went to this low vision group that I'm involved with once a month in the afternoons on Tuesdays. They had a discussion about long-term care with the first time I started going to these meetings, and the gentleman or someone there said that it's not necessarily, it's not for everybody. maybe it's a good idea, I suppose, if you save money, you know, put some money aside for long-term care when to be taken care of. Well, I mean, so that you can stay in your home, that's probably a good thing. But and then when you're in, of course, if you don't have it, I suppose what could happen is that if you have to go into a nursing home, then I suppose all your savings will be eaten up, and then you'll have to go use Medicaid, you know, to take it, you know, to support you for that. But I don't know, for some reason, the gentleman at this meeting said that long-term care isn't necessarily a good thing for everybody, I guess.
Well, that's not for him to say, and that's another reason, Gary, and I'll let you go and other people comment. Joe from Boston, sorry, why I don't believe in nursing homes. They want to take all your savings and leave you with like a pauper, and that isn't right.
Okay. Let's do a little bit of clarifying discussion on long-term care insurance. I think it is correct to say that it isn't a good option for most people. And oddly enough, the reason that it's not a good option for many people is that if you have very little or very few resources, period, excuse me, sorry about that with the mic. If you have very few resources, period, long-term care insurance is pretty expensive. Will eat up those resources and will probably not get you enough benefit for the amount that you have to put in it because of the fact that if your resource limits are relatively low, you'll qualify for entry into nursing homes or for community-based care as a part of a Medicare or Medicaid kind of situation. Long-term care insurance is essentially for people who actually have some assets that they're seeking to protect, and also who are likely to have a pretty fair quantity of income, and who also may well wish to not be a burden on other family members. Long-term care insurance is also quite variable. I was fascinated by the number of long-term care insurance policies that are out there that are not very good. I think this is another of those cases of buyer beware where long-term care insurance is concerned. And it's a crapshoot. Sometimes you can gain a lot by having long-term care insurance, and sometimes you actually gain very little, period. From my perspective, the major advantage of long-term care is I don't have to be a burden on anybody who is around me. I actually am paying for long-term care insurance and would propose to continue to do that. So that were I to become somewhat incapacitated down the road, which is probably inevitable when I get to be 150 or so, it will be possible for the long-term care insurance to actually pay for assistance to come in from the community, assistance that I can often choose to provide for me so that I don't have to be a burden to other family members who might be around trying to deal with some of my issues.
I think that's exactly what the gentleman mentioned at the meeting, is why there, for some things, long-term care is not an... there's some disadvantages, is the fact that if you don't have the resources and one thing, and some of these policies aren't always the best bargain, you know. So you don't always, you're not always sure that you'll get a good deal if you take out one of them long-term care policies.
I'd like to comment on this, with Joe from Boston, Gary and Paul. And anybody else. Well, we should make our policies decent, because when we were born, our parents took care of us. Now, I know my parents and I don't get along, and there's no relationship, but I don't think, and if you are a burden on your family, a lot of people, when people get old, whether it's their brother or their mother or their mother or anybody, they treat their family members like crap. And that isn't right either, so there is an offshoot. So maybe you are a burden, but in a way you took that responsibility on, and the health care insurance, you should have a good policy, which should help, so you're not too much of a burden. You know, some people say, I don't mind helping him, I'll do as much as I can from him, it's never too much. That's, we need people with a whole different change of attitude. You know, in this country we have a throwaway attitude. Well, he's getting up there now. It's one thing if I know a case where a father was decent to his son and they had insurance. I don't know what happened.
Gosh. I don't know what happened to Joseph, but we'll certainly come back to you, Joe, down the road perhaps. I think that probably the last issue that we might want to consider as part of our discussion of retirement is whether there is a role for consumer organizations of the blind in terms of dealing with retirement as an issue. Do we as blind people know enough? And also, perhaps, are there some places where we ought to be looking in order to find some other places or some other resources that are out there?
Well, I definitely think that the blind or consumer organizations, there's a role to play for as far as they're concerned. I think that they should be involved and be, up on these retirement homes and know enough about them to have some input into it and into what they could how they can contribute to helping the blind that are in these retirement homes.
I apologize, Paul. I don't know what happened. I turned off my jaws and it fell out of the system, and I'm back in. I hope I'm staying. I just wanted to finish where I left off. And he put his son in a nursing home, and his father was good to him, and they sold his father's property, and they used all his savings up, and his father was in tears, and he treats his father like crap. And this guy would have had a good father. If I had a good father like that, I wouldn't do that. Yes, there should be health care insurance, but he should have a right to be in his own home, and that's the way I feel, and I think that agencies and organizations should get involved, and there should be a lot of things done. The whole system has to be revamped, that's all I'm saying. You don't just throw people away.
Okay, thanks for the clarification, Joe. A few resources that we really haven't talked about so far tonight that probably would make some sense to at least put on the table. There is an organization out there which most people have heard of, which is called AARP, the American Association of Retired People. AARP is an organization that actually solicits membership from folks from the time they are about 50, and has really done a good job in some respects in terms of drawing attention to some of the issues that older people face. AARP does publish a magazine every month or two, which has really good information on retirement and some of the retirement potentials that are out there. The magazine is available on Bookshare on a periodic basis, and it's also available on NFB's Newsline as one of the national magazines that they actually do make available. It may well be available also on the AARP website. There are a number of books that people can get from both Bookshare and the National Library Services that will help people to plan for retirement. And of course, there are a number of websites run by AARP and some by other groups as well, which can help people to make some good decisions. In terms of the valuation of long-term care insurance, there is some fairly good material from Consumer Reports that compares a number of long-term care insurance policies. I've shopped for many different kinds of insurance in my time, and it really wasn't until I began to shop for long-term care that I realized that unlike most other insurance policies where you're really shopping around for dollars and cents, a few dollars and perhaps more cents, the fact is that with long-term care insurance, programs seem to run the whole gamut from being reasonably decent and good, if a little more expensive, to long-term care insurance programs that are just as expensive, but that provide very few benefits. This is really one of the cases where the buyer does need to be wearing and wear a good look at some of the articles that are up there on Consumer Reports and that are published in the AARP publication are well worth spending some time looking at. All right, let's go around the group. Such few of us as are left. There was a mass exodus from the session a little while ago, which suggests to me that we may be having some server issues. But the question that I guess I would leave people with is are there final thoughts that you have on retirement, or things that you believe that people really ought to take into account when they make the decision to finally hang it up?
Yeah, Paul, Joe from Boston here. Try and get a good retirement plan. Maybe we can work with our state legislatures and stuff like that, and get good long-term health care insurance that can help you live in your home, or if you want to go to a retirement community, that's up to you. And that's all I have to say on that right now, and try to straighten out some of the mess that's going on in the retirement communities and the people that really need help and aren't getting it.
Well, it helps to, if you're fortunate enough to have a good good employment with a company or with a government agency that has good retirement and get good benefits and, good health care, which is important. I think that's one of the most important things. Anyway, it's important that that you know about all those things and of course, maybe people aren't always, some people aren't, can't be as choosy about their place of employment, but sometimes it helps to know those things if you're looking for employment, what your benefits are and your retirement that you're saving for over the years and your health care services. What kind of health care insurance do you have for folks that are in need of it?
Gary, I think you made some good points. I think clearly one of the most telling points that I think you made is that people do need to spend a good deal of time planning. I was also very impressed with your recognition that at least for a time during retirement, people probably need to try, if they can, to create an environment where they will have access to health coverage. Granted, we have Medicare. Granted, we have Medicaid. Granted, there are some other emergency-type options available. But the bottom line is, I think one of the things that we don't think about often enough is whether, in fact, we're going to have the kind of medical coverage that will even allow us to survive long enough to get to long-term care provisions, assuming that we have them. Tonight on our program, we've spent a lot of time discussing a range of issues that surround retirement, and I think that we've been able to establish that it's not nearly as simple as it might seem, that people who are blind have loads of decisions to make, that the system in some ways favors people who are blind and in some ways categorically does not favor people who are blind. I think we've established that there are a range of issues out there with regard to retirement, and that an organization of blind people, such as the ACB or the NFB, ought to seriously look at helping more of our folks understand retirement by perhaps providing more training at the convention, by encouraging more articles in the Braille Forum. Perhaps even developing some sort of a list of resources that a person who's blind and a member of the organization can in fact use, because I'm not sure that many of us know where to look for best results in an issue that is becoming more and more complicated the more computers become a core value in our community.
Well, yes, and that's true. I think that when I worked for the state of Michigan, I had the, of course, now I have the Medicare, but I had Blue Cross that I got from my place of employment, so that I had two healthcare solutions for me, now that I'm retired.
Thanks, Gary. So the final point, I guess, to be made about retirement tonight is that it isn't nearly as simple an issue as we might have thought. Simply stopping work doesn't get it. A lot more planning, a lot more thought, and a lot more effort needs to be put in while we're still at work, making decisions about the kind of life that we're going to have once we stop working. It's an important issue. It's a relevant issue. I thank everyone for their participation this evening in the program, and I thank our listeners on ACB Radio. We appreciate your being here. Good night. Tune in to Tuesday Topics next week on ACB Radio, the voice of the blind community.